My name is Robert Malone, and I'm a United States-based physician and scientist. These are my truths, and I believe they're self-evident. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. The simple truths are what matter most. Honest words spoken from the heart can change the world. It's my opinion that we should not have politicized the public health response to SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. And Justin Trudeau should have focused on managing the actual ground truth of COVID-19 instead of following the script provided to him by the leadership of the World Economic Forum. I'm a physician and a scientist now, and I'm highly trained and experienced in developing vaccines and other medicines. But I've also been a carpenter, a farmhand, and I still work my farm. I drive a GMC dually diesel flatbed, a Kubota farm tractor, and can run a skid loader or drive a team of Percheron horses. I've shown my Percheron foals at the Royal Winter Fair. By the original meaning, I am a teepster. And I'm speaking to my friends and colleagues who've shown enormous courage, the truckers of Canada. I come to you with an open heart and committed to healing and bringing three simple words: integrity, dignity, and community. These are three simple words that ring like bells in the souls of honest people. I come to tell you that we're seeing shocking signals of desperation from our opponents. Benito Mussolini, who created fascism in the 20th century, once said fascism should more properly be called corporatism, since it's the merger of the state and corporate power. In the actions of the governments of Ottawa and Canada, we're now able to clearly see the hidden face that was previously not observable of global fascist totalitarianism, and by which I mean, as Benito Mussolini defined it, the fusion of corporate power and government power. For the first time, we can clearly see that they are willing and able to collude with Silicon Valley to weaponize the banking system against us and against you. Taking $10 million from a political fundraising campaign is something that most of us could not have imagined 2 years ago. Clearly, this has backfired, because it has exposed to everyone that there is an unnatural coordination between government, the information technology sector and its businesses, and the banks and their businesses. And now we have direct video evidence of this collusion from the infamous Zoom call, recording documenting the involvement of the government and mayor of Ottawa in this collusion. The censorship is ramping up. More signs of desperation, and our opponents are no longer really trying to justify it. The attacks on Joe Rogan are truly a desperate act. To attack the most beloved media icon in North America has so much downside that I can't believe they're doing it. But again, it shows that they're coordinating. Did you know that Spotify and Moderna share the same number one investor? Bailey Gifford Asset Management owns 11.5% of both companies, the largest single shareholder. Now we know that Neil Young has a financial conflict of interest because of the large investment bank that owns about half of the financial rights for his entire song catalog. This strategy is backfiring. Joe Rogan is still strong, and the central pharmaceutical and banking system is hated more than ever. It will take more than Neil Young to shut down Joe Rogan. So desperate are these conspirators that they're now literally have asked the U.S. Department of Defense to commit a felony, changing data in the Defense Medical Epidemiologic Database. Stupidly, it had already been released and was being studied by the medical community. Thank you to Teresa Long and the brave military personnel that pulled these data down and have shared them through a whistleblower act, including with Senator Ron Johnson. But these people were caught with their pants down, changing data after the fact. My guess is that this deserves a criminal investigation. This will also backfire because now people are personally exposed, and I think they'll either run for the hills or become whistleblowers themselves to cover themselves. Fourth key point about the desperation of our opponents. It's time to end the fake emergency powers that they have used to suspend your constitutional and natural rights. There is no emergency. Treatment strategies for curing COVID-19 using repurposed drugs were discovered by March of 2020. Omicron is not a killer. The censoring must stop, and these emergency powers must be rescinded. If I can read a moment from the deeply academic book of Dr. Matthias Desmet, titled The Psychology of Totalitarianism. Quote, alternative voices are stigmatized by a veritable ministry of truth, which is crowded with, quote, fact checkers. Freedom of speech is curtailed by various forms of censorship and self-censorship. People's right to self-determination is infringed upon by coercive vaccination strategies, which impose heretofore unthinkable social exclusion and segregation upon society. That's what we've been dealing with. That is the basis for Matthias's brilliant synthesis that he calls mass formation psychosis. Turning now to integrity, human dignity, and the importance of community. Integrity is a commitment to truth in what you say, how you live, and how you treat others. St. Augustine, the doctor of the Roman Catholic Church, famously said, "The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, it will defend itself." Regarding dignity, dignity flows from respect for ourselves, for each other, and for the world we live in. Community, which is so absent these days, is what binds us together to each other and gives our lives purpose and meaning. Now, regarding the genetic COVID vaccines, the science is settled, in my opinion. They're not working to prevent infection, replication, or spread to others, and they're not completely safe. In our daily lives, with our friends, with our families, and with our coworkers, we all know that this is true. They're not completely safe, and the full nature of the risks remain unknown and are being uncovered because of the brave whistleblowers from the U.S. Department of Defense. In contrast, the natural immunity which healthy immune systems develop after infection and recovery from COVID-19 is long-lasting, broad, and highly protective from disease and death caused by this virus. And now we have Omicron. These vaccines were designed for the original Wuhan strain, a different virus. These vaccines do not prevent Omicron infection, viral replication, and spread to others. And there are data suggesting that they make the risk of infection and disease even higher than the unvaccinated or the naturally immune. These genetic vaccines are leaky, have poor durability, and even if every man, woman, and child in the United States and Canada were vaccinated, these products cannot achieve herd immunity and stop COVID. We need to stop the mandates, as well as stopping the emergency declarations that have suspended our constitutions and our constitutional rights. In my opinion, and that of virtually every medical ethicist in the world that has studied this, ever since the Nuremberg hearings, if there is risk, there must be choice. This is the fundamental bedrock truth of modern bioethics. All medical procedures, vaccines, and drugs have risks. All of us have the right to understand those risks and to decide for ourselves whether we willingly accept those risks. To deny this is to deny human dignity. Evil has many roots. In my opinion, a willingness to deny human dignity is one of the largest. In our hearts and in our souls, we all know that this is true. Now, regarding our children, although I'm a physician who's deeply committed to the Hippocratic Oath, I'm above all a husband, father, and grandfather. I ask that you allow me a moment to speak to you about our children and about our fundamental responsibility to protect them. If nothing else, we must nurture and protect our children. This is job one. It's your job. It's my job. It's not their job to protect us. And during the last 2 years, our society and our public health responses failed to protect them. Many things that our public health system has demanded we do to our children, in fact, has directly harmed them. Self-harm, suicide, and drug abuse in children have taken off all around the world. Anxiety, bullying, intimidation, coercion have become the norm in schools and among our children. Measured IQ in the very young has dropped. Fundamental childhood delays are easily measured. And physical damage to children from injecting them with genetic vaccines in order to protect the elderly from a virus is occurring. As a parent, it is ultimately your responsibility to protect your children. If they're harmed by these genetic vaccines, you are the one that will have to take care of them. And you will carry that burden for the rest of your life and theirs. On average, between 1 in 2,000 and 1 in 3,000 children that receive these vaccines will be hospitalized in the short term with vaccine-caused damage. Only with the passage of time will we know what long-term damage may occur. The vaccines do not protect our children from becoming infected with Omicron, and they do not prevent infected children from infecting others. In contrast, the pharmaceutical companies and the government are almost fully protected from any damages these products might cause to them. If your child is damaged by these vaccines, you will be left alone with both your grief and the burden of care. These genetic vaccines can damage your children. They may damage their brain, their heart, their immune system, and their ability to have children in the future. And many of these types of damages cannot be repaired. So I beg you, please, get informed about the possible risks that your children may be damaged by these experimental medical products. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. Think for yourself, because it's your responsibility to protect and nurture them. If they're damaged, no regional authority, no government public health official, no television doctor will be there to help you. You, your family, and your child will have to carry the load yourselves. Finally, when I was a child, a brilliant young American president said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Canada is your country. You own this amazing gift, but you must defend it if you wish to keep it, or the globalists will take it from you. They promise that in the future you will own nothing and you will be happy. Do you believe them? Today, I ask all of you to keep the words of President John F. Kennedy in your minds and hearts. We can all be leaders, and you brave truckers, have stepped up to the task. Canada, the United States, and the world thanks you for your courage. We will survive this, and we will overcome these hardships if we can just keep these three simple words in our hearts: integrity, dignity, community. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your courage.